Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, my name is VexX, and this is episode number 25 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Today, I'm elated. I'm ecstatic. I am so grateful to be joined by the one and the only Mr. Johnny Zero.
People's hero, and I'm very ecstatic and elated and honored to be here, and thank you for having me.
Dude, it's fucking great when you come through. We have very colorful debates. Now, people don't know this on the other side of the microphone.
Right.
We tried to record two Vex on Vexes together. Yeah. We started screaming at each other over nothing.
I know.
Nothing of importance.
I know.
I was like, fuck you, my opinion, Ron. And you were like,
that's
no.
The dichotomy, you know. Like,
well, no, we're very passionate young men.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
So this one's lighthearted, and I'm in a better mood, and you're in a better mood.
I'm in a better mood, too, man.
There you go,
good,
man.
I'm just happy to see you, buddy.
So
thanks for having me.
Dude, again, it's awesome that you're here. Now, you and I host together a podcast called the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah, and that's strange. That's becoming pretty big.
Bro, I didn't tell you, so I'm telling you now officially.
Yeah.
Since the last time we had seen each other, we have surpassed 100,000 downloads of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. It's pretty fucking cool, right?
Oh, my God.
Man. And the irony is, so we started that together just as bullshit. Yeah. And to be honest, it was Johnny's intellectual property. You had come up with the concept of it, and we built on it together.
Pow. Whatever. It wouldn't happen if it wasn't us together in our dichotomy.
But then people really dig it. Like, it's popular.
Wow.
And I'm just grateful it's popular.
I'm surprised. I'm thankful. I'm blessed.
One of the things we were discussing very briefly in a previous episode was the death of the gentleman who played Superman on TV in the 1950s. What was his name?
George Reeves.
Okay, now, the understanding of it... Oh, excuse me. Let me breathe. The understanding of it is that in 2018, officially... George Reeves committed, quote-unquote, air quote, suicide.
Yes, sir.
Now, you had alluded that it's different, and you had brought up... Well, go ahead, sir. What is your understanding?
Well, there was a film called Hollywoodland.
Now, that had Ben Affleck, right?
Yes.
And I remember the movie, and I did see it.
Ben Affleck and Adrian Brody.
I didn't like the movie, per se. Mm-hmm. I didn't dislike it, but I was hoping it would be more direct.
It's because they didn't make an exact, like... They didn't make an exact decision on what their feelings was of the death. They had three different possible endings.
So it's ambiguous.
Pardon my English. Yes.
And you had said that we're fortunate the thing got made at all.
Yes.
Especially in the climate of Hollywood.
Yes.
Can you explain that to us?
Well, there was a producer that George Reeves was dating. And, his wife.
The wife was cheating on him.
Well, to my understanding, now, I wasn't there or anything.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, you know. But he was okay with, they had
an open relationship.
An open relationship.
Which is pretty, it's a Hollywood type of thing, actually, especially back then.
Yeah. You know, and I'm not talking bad on anybody or anything like that. That's just...
There's no negative connotation to that sentence, sir. It's okay.
There's, I don't want anybody screwing my career up or anything like that. But I'm just saying, I'm being serious, man.
But
this is serious.
Said moguls are no longer in power. It was a very long time ago.
Well,
so did he pass away in the 1960s? Is that when it was?
I'm not sure, but I know that there's a lot of things. I'm a big fan of superheroes,
and of course, and the books and the lore and the whole thing.
But there is lineage back to strange deaths and ex-wives and girlfriends and different careers that were destroyed.
And we can discuss as well. There's
he was a strong arm, so to speak. That's how it was projected as one of the possible three speculations.
Oh yeah, sure.
You know,
here's my thing.
You know,
everyone who plays Superman, it seems, has kind of a bad demise. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
It's a bit odd. Like, so George Reeves.
Yep.
Christopher Reeves, same last name, odd, no relation.
And there's the first guy, too.
Who's the first guy? I don't know.
To be the comic book
no,
guy.
No. The name isn't important, but tell me what happened to the first gentleman.
He just disappeared.
Seriously?
Yeah.
He just vanished?
Yeah, like his career. His name also sounds like... I don't want to be an idiot.
Yeah, but here's my thing.
Because there's Christopher Reeve.
Bro, you're losing the thread.
George Reeves.
It doesn't matter about his name. For real. Okay. We're just talking.
I'll do that on another episode.
My understanding was that the gentleman that the Hollywoodland movie was about was the first person to play him on screen, but that's not an accurate sentiment.
And he's the first person to play him in a serial.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's
like the series thing.
Yes. And then back in those days, which you would go to your, I guess they were called, a Nickelodeon? or like a movie, like a movie theater, you know, and you would see every week The Adventures of Superman.
Yeah, before the movies came on and stuff.
Right, exactly. And then it got picked up to be, by Kellogg's, if I'm not mistaken, like Corn Flakes. I think they picked it up, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, but here's the thing. I'm sorry. You lost me, and I apologize. That's me.
Yeah.
I don't understand what we're saying. Hold on. My question was, first person to play him on screen, was that the guy in question?
George Reeves was the first guy to play him on television.
But not on the movie screen.
Nope,
so the serials that you were discussing previously.
Yeah, was the first guy.
And that guy, something bad happened to as well.
Yep, and the first superhero to ever be on, you know, back in those days, a guy running around in tights and capes and doing good was ridiculous.
Wow.
So The Adventures of Captain Marvel was actually the first one, and then they had a Superman one, and then they did have an original Batman one.
Wasn't it much darker, the original Batman?
Oh,
like he was like a murderous, like evil,
it had a
angry
Captain,
guy.
There was a Captain America too.
But.
With no wings on his head, though.
Okay.
And he had a gun, and it was more realistic.
He had a gun?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well,
so anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
We're going down a different
road. Sorry, I get excited with
but
this. That's my fault.
Honestly. My point was that every Superman actor has something bad happened to him.
Yes.
Now, Dean Cain from the 90s,
yes.
We should wait around for the OD or something, right? Like, mathematically, it's happening.
Well, he's actually, the last I had heard, he's doing like some sort of political thing, standing up. He still does good things.
I'm not talking about that. We're saying everybody that plays Superman on screen ends badly.
Yeah.
So there's
the
a good
typecasting.
Chance. There's not the typecasting. They just die in a tragic fashion. Like, dude, Christopher Reeves, who's my Superman from when I was a little kid.
Absolutely.
Crashes on the horse, turns over, breaks his neck, and becomes like this awful existence. Like, here's the thing. Had he crashed on the horse and broke his neck and died, kind of fucking cool.
Yeah.
The next 9 years of lingering around just wasting away, not so fucking
cool. Well, you know what? I will say this because I love Christopher Reeves too, and he did have, even from a wheelchair, he had a couple good acting roles, and he was championing
Stem cell research.
Stem cell research, yes. And, I wish they would make that possible.
It is actually possible. Check this out.
Yeah.
So I think you and I discussed this never on microphone.
Yeah.
Personally in our lives.
Yeah.
All right. Bear with me because the name's escaping me. Oh, this is going to be bad.
Mel Gibson. And
Mel Gibson appeared on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Exactly. There you go.
Then we discussed this.
Right.
So Mel Gibson's dad, who's 90 some years old.
Yep.
Mel Gibson flies him to whatever country it is.
Yep.
They shot him full of stem
Panama.
Cells. And all of a sudden, this guy's healthy and moving and the whole thing. So
out of the wheelchair.
Exactly. And, like, so they are a positive. And it's moving forward. Like, you know, they're not taking it from, like, baby fetuses anymore or things of that nature. Like,
right,
it's just
out
of people. So you can, you know, it's regenerative. And then Joe Rogan himself had some, treatments into his shoulders.
Yep.
And so did Mel Gibson. Now, I don't know if you saw Mel Gibson on the TV Dad's Wrestling podcast.
Yes.
John Lithgow is a prominent character.
Oh, absolutely.
He was in a movie last year with Mel Gibson. I don't know, Daddy's Two or something like
Daddy's
that.
Daddy's Two. I haven't seen that.
It's I don't know if that's the title, to be honest with you. It's kind of escaping me. But it's Mark Wahlberg and the gentleman who was on Saturday Night Live, who was in Anchorman 2 and Anchorman, Will Ferrell, and the dads, respectively, their fathers who come into the movie for the sequel, it's Mel Gibson, and he's ripped.
Right.
Like, ripped.
Right,
65
right.
years old, 60 years old,
right.
ripped.
Right.
And it's the stem cells, because he said he had blown out his shoulders from all the years of lifting weights and all that shit, and then he did the treatment, and now he can just lift weights like a young guy.
Well the thinking is that they have gold cells. I think they're called gold cells, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't disagree. I don't know.
Like, they take the stem, the umbilical cord, and every, like, 100 umbilical, they throw them out anyway, right? I mean, I'd want to use one as a guitar strap. Just kidding. But
that's fucked
just,
up.
Just joking. No, I mean, like, you know, they're throwing them out. You know, I know there's a lot of things.
Get to the point,
that.
Johnny Zero.
Well, there's a gold cell in each one, and you put your cells in it, and they re-inject it in there.
And there you go, and it regenerates your body.
Yeah, and I don't see anything
wrong.
Well,
no, it's
that.
The future. It's coming. It's going to be like modern medical science. Obviously, because people like Joe Rogan, who have money, can already access it. So how it begins is the rich people start, and then it trickles down, and then, like, the regular population can be privy to it, which is interesting. Like, for knee surgery, things of that nature. So it's going to be a good future in reference to that. I have no idea how we got here. Oh, because Christopher Reeves, after Superman. His accident, was like championing the whole thing.
Yeah, and when John Kerry was running for president,
okay,
he was championing that. That was one of his things.
Well, he knew a lot of people, and Nama got ruined, you know what I mean, messed up. Sure. So he definitely saw that. Now, here's the thing with that. Again, I'm going to go on a side tangent. If I'm Christopher Reeve, dude's 6'4", 240, muscular, big guy. Yep. And he was. His whole life, he was athletic. Yep. Mm-hmm. Once he played Superman, he got built. He stayed built.
Yep.
I don't want to go out like that. If I go into an accident,
right,
let me pass away. Because back in the day when you broke your neck in the 70s, mm-hmm. you just died. And that was okay. Mm-hmm. You're good. I'm not a paraplegic, a quadriplegic, a cripple. Right. I don't want to be that. If I roof, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I fall off and... It's okay. Let me go.
I've helped you do it. I know what you're
so
saying.
It's like if I take a dive and it happens mm-hmm. and I go down, let me go. I don't need to be in a chair lingering for another fucking 5 years on a breathing machine. If I can't breathe on my own, I don't really want to be around.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that.
Quality of life's important to me.
Absolutely.
That guy was really athletic. I don't even ride horses. Yeah. Like riding horses is a ballsy sport.
What was the movie he did after that like it was like a romantic movie?
Oh, there's a bunch of them, bro.
There was one that was in particular that he did. It was very successful, and he was in the wheelchair doing it.
Oh, I have no. I couldn't care less.
You know what I'm talking
about?
You
mean after the accident?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't care
less.
And
he was actually a very excellent.
And I hear you, but you're still in a fucking wheelchair. Like
I know.
All right, you ever see Carlito's Way? Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
All right, so there's a scene in Carlito's Way where he's running the club and his friend shows up and his friend's in a wheelchair and he's like, I can't hump, I can't wipe my own ass, I got diapers, man.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Chiva, he called him a Chiva, which I think is like a fucking rat. Because he wore the wire and shit. It's not even plugged in, man. But my point is, I don't want to be that guy. If I can't hump, I'm okay. I don't need to be around anymore. It's good. Like, if my body's breaking down, it's time for me to check the fuck out.
No, I hear you.
There's a guy who works for me that if I fall out of the building and they save me, it's his job to go into the hotel room or the hospital room and make sure I don't wake up anymore. Like, that's his fucking job.
Yeah. You know how it is. I got, you know, Stevie Zero's... doing the same thing, but you never know, man. You got to hold on, and with this stem cell thing, it could be really good for everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
I've lived a long time at this point. I'm many decades in.
Yeah,
and I feel like I've had a lot of fun. And if I was to get in a car accident on my way home from here today and pass away, I'm totally fine with it because I've had a good time. Like I've had a lot of fun. I've done a lot of shit I shouldn't have been able to do. I mean, I don't want to die.
Yeah,
but
I don't want you to die.
But my first wife passed away, which I'm sure you know, right?
Yes, I know.
And since that happened, and then my mom passed away the year before that, so like the volume was turned down on that. And like ever since that moment, I'm like, I'm good. Like I've seen this. I've seen what this is. But I've stayed. I didn't check out or anything. I was depressed, but I dealt. And I've had a lot of fun. But if it ends tomorrow, I'm okay, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So if I break my neck, I don't want to live in a wheelchair waiting for stem cell research. There's a great South Park about that where they bring in Gene Hackman and they call him Hackman. And Hackman's like, listen, Christopher, you have to stop eating these babies' fetuses. And he's like, no, I'm getting more powerful every day, Hackman.
Oh, are you kidding
me? It's a great fucking episode.
Oh, my God. I kind of checked out on them when they started, they started trolling Family Guy fans for their sense of humor. Now, this is like Family Guy. I'm talking about the real Family Guy, like, you know, seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, up to like even 9, 10. And, you know, I just stopped watching them there. I really want to see that. I didn't know that they even brought stem cells into it.
The cool part of South Park as a commentary is they're not left and they're not right. They burn everybody to the ground. They attack the left a lot. They attack the right a lot. When you're wrong, they tell you you're wrong.
Right,
and
sure.
I dig that. To me, that's cool.
Me too.
You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, we're both kind of independents, really. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I'm not political. Let's not go down a political
tangent. No, me either. And I'm agreeing with you on this. This is a good episode we're having here. Look.
We didn't fight yet at all.
No, man. Look, it's like this. You put the gas on, turn up the gas, vroom, turn on the engine, and you put it all the way, the steering wheel all the way to the left. Guess what? And you hit the gas, we're hitting donuts. You do the same thing. Okay, we didn't go anywhere. You just did a donut in the front yard. Then we do the same thing, and we vroom, vroom, put the keys in there again and turn it all the way to the right. We're not going anywhere. You have to go there in the middle. You have to have that balance. You know, there's nothing wrong with what you're saying, brother.
Now, I want to tell you something.
It's cool.
There's an ad that came up on my Facebook.
It's America.
You ready?
Sure.
Philadelphia. Wayne Kramer and his MC5 supergroup are coming to the Union Transfer on September the 15th. John.
Sorry.
Get your ticket, bring a friend, and celebrate 50 years of Kick Out the Jams. Support it from the Detroit Cobras and Pinkwash. Or Pinkwash. We're going. We're going. So mark your shit.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, we're going to go see
that. Oh, that's so cool, dude.
And
dude,
it's like, you are a huge MC5 fan. This is like, this guy.
I mean, sorry.
You can say fuck.
Oh, yeah, right.
So you're a huge fan. I want to know your reaction. Like, how do you feel about this?
I feel like, what do you think I feel like? I feel like Kick Out the Jams, motherfucker. Yeah, I feel like over and over. I feel like Miss X. I feel like all the songs that people don't know about. I feel like just the greatest, the Motor City 5, man. They are the original heavy metal band, the original punk rock band.
See, I don't give you the medal. I don't give you the nod.
Hey, man. Okay, whatever. They were outselling outselling Black Sabbath for America. They are outselling Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin 1 at the same time they took it off the shelf.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question about that. What year did that record come out?
It was late in 68. Okay. And it was still being promoted until 69.
There was no Black Sabbath yet. So when you say these words, I love you, but that's an incorrect statement.
I understand that.
So that's an impossibility.
But they took it off the shelf and re-released it as Kick Out the Jams Brothers and Sisters, which would have been 1970.
You just can't just do that. No, Johnny Zero did a silent. Johnny Zero did a silent mic drop. He said some shit, and then he held his hands up like, "What? What?" So now, you know, fuck it. We're pausing it. I'm going to cross check. So hold on. Thank you for that pause. This is VexX back with Mr. Johnny Zero on episode number 25 of the Vex on Vex podcast. February 1st, 1969, Kick Out the Jams is released to the world. Black Sabbath doesn't have a record deal yet. So your sentence is incorrect.
Well, that.
Well, what?
But they were. They took it off the shelf. If we were stock boys, buddy, and we sold it in 1969, they would come and arrest us. That's a fact.
But my point is, you. Like, no, seriously. No, so they no, no, stop. You said something, and I'm telling you, I'm holding you accountable. I love you, but that's crazy.
No, I am accountable.
Exact sentence. This record outsold both Led Zeppelin 1, which, by the way, was out, and Black Sabbath. Wasn't even fucking, they weren't signed yet.
Perhaps I was wrong.
I know.
On the Sabbath.
I know you were wrong. I
do take account.
Now, there's something, this is something important.
But for the time being, though, why it was on the shelves before they unshelved it, MC5 Kick Out the Jams did outsell Led Zeppelin.
But it didn't outsell Black Sabbath, who didn't exist. They didn't have a record deal.
Okay. Well,
secondly,
I was wrong.
January 15th, 1970, mm-hmm. Back in the USA is released by the MC5.
Yes.
Okay? And you know who did outsell it? Black Sabbath 1, which came out a month later. So, on February 13th, 1970, Black Sabbath did outsell.
I got them mixed up.
No, but you said outsell, brother.
No, I'm saying, but at that time, it was outselling Led Zeppelin 1. I'm sorry.
And that's the thing. And you know what's really about that?
Yeah.
They weren't famous yet. You know, when Led Zeppelin 1 came out, they were nothing.
See, neither was MC5.
Well, at least they were American, though. So if you're from America, right? No, for real. And you're like this great rock band.
Yes, I am.
Please let me talk.
Yeah.
If you're from America in 1970 or 1969, you're a great rock band. The great rock band who, not even that great in my opinion, because I don't like the guitar player, who come over from fucking England, who nobody knows, has no hit, has no radio single, has nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Kick Out the Jams is going to fucking crush it, because it's just like...
Well, you know, I would think so, too. But you got to remember, you have the liner notes... you know, the liner notes are you know, at that time, it's a turbulent time, the 60s, and you also have, it's a live album.
Listen. Out the Jams is the debut album by the American proto-punk band MC5.
Right.
It was released in February of 1969 through Elektra Records, the same label for The Doors, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
It was recorded live at Detroit's Grand Ballroom over two nights, Devil's Night and Halloween 1968. The LP peaks at number 30 on the Billboard chart, out of the top 200, with the title track peaking at number 82 in the Hot 100. Although the album was received an unfavorable review at Rolling Stone upon its release, it's gone on to be considered one of the most important forerunners to punk rock music.
Is that right? It was unfavorable by...
You know, Rolling Stone slammed everybody, and let me tell you why. You don't even know about this.
Even
yet.
MC5?
Everybody. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
So Rolling Stone, and I have issues with Rolling Stone, since we're going to discuss this too.
Right, sure.
Was founded by Jan Winner, straight fucking hippie. Straight hippie,
sure.
Right? So if you're not the Beatles, who, by the way, are just a fucking pop band, by the way.
Right.
They're not a rock band, but that's okay. So if you're not the Beatles, and you're not fucking Bob Dylan, and your hair isn't blowing in sand in the wind and all that shit, right? Which is what they're founded on.
Right.
let's be honest, the second wave of this, well, third wave, because Elvis is first, really.
Right. Absolutely.
Elvis happens in the 50s.
Elvis, Chuck Berry, and...
Fuck it. Chuck Berry's fucking before that. Yeah, Little Richard's before that, yep. Right? Well, but we'll say popular America. Yeah, so Elvis brings rock and roll to the masses. We all agree with that.
Same group. Eddie Cochran, yeah.
The second incarnation is the Beatles. Now, people write their own songs. Elvis sang other people's songs. That was his thing.
Sure.
He was a great vocalist. He wasn't a writer per se. So the Beatles are like, we're going to record our own shit. Now, that makes him the second generation, okay? The folk, the beat, the whole thing happens. MC5 coming out so late in the 60s. The 60s are over. This is going to be a 70s rock band at this point, right? Really? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're a different generation. It's kind of like Metallica comes out in the early 80s, okay? And they're a thrash metal band.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 90s, new metal comes out. Nobody's comparing Limp Bizkit to Metallica because they're just different. They're a different generation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the same thing. So MC5, in the eyes of Rolling Stone, including Led Zeppelin, I might add, were bastardized versions of what already existed and didn't get any fucking good reviews.
Well, it's because MC5 played a, I have some books and things like that I need to look up, but they did play rock and roll, were called rock and roll, quote unquote, revival shows with... They actually played with Chuck Berry, believe it.
Oh, brother, I'm not saying any of that.
Yeah,
you're not here. For some reason, you completely missed what
I
just said to you.
No, I'm saying that.
Jan Winter looked at them as the next jerk-offs, and then they didn't matter. Like, rock and roll had happened.
Yeah.
You fucking missed it, and you suck. And now, check this out. 10 years after that, when punk happens, again, he didn't get it. Again, he's like, yeah, I don't really get it. And he knew he didn't get it by that point, because then he's really rich, and he's really fat, and he's really old, and he's a different thing.
Really, I didn't see. I don't see all those magazines. I went up to It's Only Rock and Roll in New York City before, and those mag. I know there's one with MC5 on the cover, and they're just too expensive to buy, you know, for me. And John Sinclair was such a voice of the generation, and they had the riot there and the Democratic Convention, all that. I just can't. I can't believe that. So what you're telling me is that the bullshit of Rolling Stone magazine goes that far back?
From its inception, because it was one-sided. It was made...
Oh, my God.
It was specifically made to cover rock and roll in 1965 and 66 and shit.
Oh,
right?
My God.
So they didn't even really respect the Doors. They were on the cock of fucking... They loved, like, you know, the Beatles. They loved the Stones. That whole thing. The
wow.
Who. But if you're in the next wave... And let's be honest. MC5 is the next wave because the MC5 sets up the next two waves.
Sure. The Motor City 5. Yeah.
You got all the Ramones come out of that. Iggy Pop comes out of that. This is all because of the MC5.
Yeah.
So they didn't get it.
Yeah.
They didn't fucking get it. And what I like about the MC5 personally, sonically, there's a lot of... soul vibe in that music.
Absolutely.
Like, it's really...
Because you have that... You have
Motown,
that mesh. You have Motown going on, and you have experimental rock. And then everybody's like, the British Invasion is great. The British Invasion... And not that the British Invasion wasn't great. I'm just saying...
I felt like it was more marketing than anything.
It just seemed like our boys were good. You know? MC5 was good, man. I didn't get that. And then their little brother band was Iggy Pop and the Stooges.
Exactly.
And that's their little brother band. So, man, I did not know that. I've seen the cover of that magazine online, but I've never read it. I did not know that. You've taught me something today. Thank you.
Well, Rolling Stone's one-sided and always has been. And ironic? To this day, the Rolling Stone's delivered to my house. I'm still on the thing. I still get Rolling Stone. It only comes out monthly now.
Right.
It's back to the big size. I don't know if you remember, but in the 80s still, when we were little kids, it was a giant magazine. Like, it always had been in the 60s and 70s. Like, it was a big...
Sure.
And they scaled it back. Like, we're going to get modern. We're going to get sleek. And then fucking Britney Spears was on the cover. And fucking Ricky... What was his name? La Vida Loca.
Ricky...
Ricky Ricardo. No.
Yeah. I was going to say that.
I know.
Like, Yeah.
Ricky Martin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this isn't rock.
Yeah.
This isn't it.
Yeah.
And that's when the magazine got really small.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, my second marriage, my wife got me...
You saved me on that one. I was going to say Ricky Ricardo.
Hey.
But he just won the championship of, you know, whatever. But yeah, keep going, man.
No, no worries.
Yeah,
and then fucking... So my second marriage, she got me for Christmas the Rolling Stone thing. And there were some good not exploitive.
Yeah.
Good stories.
In the
mag.
Yeah.
That were more political and like drugs and stuff.
I saw one with a JFK piece that I bought.
Which is probably really good.
Yeah, recently.
But when it comes to their musical integrity,
yeah,
They've been weird and one-sided. Like, dude, they trashed every Led Zeppelin record. Now, I'm not a Zeppelin fan.
Yeah.
But give credit where credit is due.
Sure.
Great rhythm section.
Sure.
Right? I love that
I love the lead guitarist. I mean,
I do not.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, how could you when there's Ace Frehley around? I know. Compared to Jimmy Page as a lead guitarist, really. Come on. But anyway, my point is that the thing that really brought my attention to this stuff, and that you're proving it with everything you're saying. I mean, I thought that they were the ones behind the MC5 because they were older writers and, you know, the movie Almost Famous and, you know, and then they didn't even mention Eric Carr had passed, man. That kind of, you know, and look, there's nothing against Freddie Mercury. Great singer. Love Freddie Mercury. God rest his soul.
Well, a little bit more famous. Here's the thing.
I agree with
Peter Criss. Had Peter Criss passed the same weekend as Freddie Mercury, different world, okay? Dude. But Mercury was a fucking rock star. And that guy was the retread in a lot of people's minds for kids. No, come on.
Dude, Paul Caravello was his own guy, and he was a great drummer. I mean, I'm not saying he should be on the cover over Freddie Mercury. He's a lead singer.
But remember.
But he should have at least been mentioned.
Wait a minute. They hated Kiss. And I have the magazine where they finally put them on the cover. I have it in my house right now.
Right.
They were like, oh my God, they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Good for Kiss. And like, dude, I went to it. I fucking went to it. I texted you from it.
I know. You sent me the fucking thing. It's fucking awesome.
I'm in New York, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sitting there looking at Kiss, right?
Yeah.
And then they get done. They don't play a single
note of
Kiss music. Not a single note. Stop. Not a single note of Kiss music. And it hurt me in my heart. And I was like, it just, they don't like Kiss. They have no respect. And when they did the broadcast on HBO, they did Kiss and then Nirvana, right? Because Kiss is a huge draw in New York fucking City, which is where this was held.
Sure. I love both of them.
Kiss was first. They had no respect for them at the live fucking taping. They were fucking first.
Well, don't you think that has something to do with them? There was all that, you know, stuff about them not playing. They wanted the original four to play.
In makeup.
Yeah, and then there was Ace was going to play with like Joan Jett, and they were going to do Highway to Hell.
And do you know what happened?
I was there.
You know what happened? Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band gets inducted, and they tell 4 hour fucking like because there's like 35 members of the band. I want to thank my third grade teacher. Thank you so much for saying that I could play very well, and now I'm here in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And they just let them go on and on. Now it's like 2 a.m.
Right.
2 a.m. And they're like, well, I guess we're not going to play. We're just going to go home now.
He's not lying, guys. He's not lying, kids. He did send me that. I was so excited.
I sent you the first pictures from the fucking stage before anything was published or anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I was there.
Who got the out of the four Kiss members? Just so we knew, what was the because that's Peter's hometown and you know all that, and they're all from New York City, different boroughs. Who got the most like? What was it like being there? Because you know they
asked the question. Who got the most applause?
Who most got the most applause? Because they dumped it down for HBO. They did.
Stop.
Okay.
Ace Frehley.
Did he?
Hands down.
Was it like...
And then it's weird, because I thought Paul would get some applause.
Yeah.
Paul gets up, and he was so mean. He was so mean. He's like, I don't care. You guys don't like us? That's fucking fine. I'm Paul Stanley. And no one cared, and it was like negative.
Right.
And the guy from Rage Against the Machine, the guitar player Morello, inducted them.
Great.
He was so hyped, dude, because he loves Kiss.
Great introduction,
And they just, I don't know, man. They exploited it. Like... They wanted Kiss because Kiss still exists. A lot of bands don't still exist from fucking 40 years ago.
Sure.
Okay? And they're huge. Still.
Sure.
And that's a big deal. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame needs that. Like, I'll give you an example. Peter Gabriel got in. Does anyone care? Like, the band was good for Peter Gabriel. I watched them. It was fucking boring. Like, boring.
Really?
Had you seen fucking Kiss, could you have imagined how exciting it would have been?
Yeah.
And it would have been just a different world.
I just don't understand why, like, just even for one night, since you already earned the copyrights... You put Tommy in the bandit makeup. You already own it.
Because Paul's got a hard on. It makes a little bit of sense to me. A little bit. Stop banging on the table, Johnny Zero, you rock star. In my humble opinion, Paul Stanley has to market these four members currently as the band Kiss. No. When he goes on tour, this is who it has to be. So if you go on stage, right, and you play with the real drummer.
Sure.
And the real guitar player.
Sure.
And as Gene Simmons wrote in one of his many books... The swagger of those four together is just unfucking deniable. You can say whatever you want.
Right.
But when they're like, ksh, 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 burn, and like they're kicking a love gun.
Yeah.
That's the fucking band.
Right.
And so, though some say Tommy Thayer is a more... All right. Tommy Thayer is better than Ace Frehley. Shut up, John. Let me fucking talk. You're pissing me off. I'm not even kidding. You just made me really mad. I'm fucking talking. This is my goddamn show. So this is why we fight.
Tommy Thayer.
You didn't even let me finish my fucking sentence. You don't even know what the fuck I'm saying. Ace Frehley drunk is what they say Tommy Thayer's better than. Now, Ace Frehley's been sober for a long time. But they were saying if you do the fucking reunion tour, Ace was hammered. And Ace was on pills. And he was fucked up. So Tommy Thayer was better than that Ace Frehley. That's what they say. Thoughts?
No, well, I think that that's a bunch of bullshit.
Explain.
I've seen every reunion show tour, and I'd take a drunk Ace over Sal.
I mean, I got
that guy. That guy has no vibrato.
But then I saw them with Tommy Thayer, and I saw them with Peter Criss in 2004.
Yeah.
No, 2003. I saw them. It's a summer of 2003.
The Aerosmith thing.
It was a fucking car crash because Peter just can't play, and you can just see at the time he was just maybe now he was older, he was on tour, mm-hmm. he was worn down, and Tommy Thayer was okay. He wasn't Ace Frehley, but he was okay.
Oh, Tommy Thayer is okay.
But the problem is when you're in a live rock and roll band and they don't play with tracks. Yeah. If that drummer's not in the pocket, you're not in the pocket.
I don't think Peter. I've seen some of those shows, and I don't know what to say about that, to be honest with you.
Well, I was there. I'm telling you, it wasn't good, and I was very disappointed. It was the first time I'd ever seen Kiss
in my
life.
Right, but I've seen the videos of the shows that you were at, and what I'm saying is that I think there was something going on where he didn't want Tommy Thayer, the same guy, got his lasagna and politicked his way. And used his father's, God bless his father, because my family did the same thing his father did in World War II, to use that to parlay it into a job and use the spaceman character.
You keep saying that. Now, here's the cool part. You have this is an opener.
I don't think Peter would play the same. He's a field player. There's field drum players too, man. That's my point. If you look at that last show he played in New York City.
Okay. Don't do that. Because the show I saw is fucking 15 years ago. And so I'm talking about, you're talking about that show. That's great. He got ready for it. It was one night. The physicality mm-hmm. of going on a tour and mm-hmm. living in a bus and living in hotels and you're in a different bed every night.
Okay.
It's a young man's game. A drummer who plays his balls off every night.
Sure.
It's not good. It's just not good for a guy who's up in age.
Well, especially.
Who didn't take care of himself for quite a long fucking time.
Especially if you're not playing with your buddy, your buddy Ace. You know what I mean? Like, those guys grew up together, you know, and you got some
fake
guy. Yeah,
but now, talk to Peter Criss today, and Peter Criss feels betrayed by Ace because he didn't tell him until the very end of the tour.
No, they made up since then. But he did, and Ace came clean about it, and he did. He did came clean about it because if it wasn't for that, then Peter wouldn't have been on the reunion tour.
Which is true.
And I love Paul, and I love Gene. And
I feel like
Ace
if they didn't get Peter for the reunion, it wouldn't have worked anyway.
No.
I feel like it would have been
need those four.
Those four are the fucking band.
Yeah. And I think that if they made a thing where there was like a, I've thought about this before. If you know they did that In Excess show, we've talked about this off air, but it should be talked about. If they did a Kiss, like the next Kiss, right, and just those guys, like those, you know, American Idol and The Voice, and you know, where they had the four judges, Ace, Peter, Paul, and Gene. Even if they're not playing, those personalities together are so entertaining. And then you have new people, and then go with the new Kiss, if that's what they're going to get, the quote-unquote Kiss 2.0. What are your thoughts on that?
No, 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 emphatically no, no, no. Now listen, we got in a little tiff 5 minutes ago when you were saying that the MC5 outsold a Black Sabbath record that hadn't been released. Can I finish my sentence?
Yes.
I adore Black Sabbath.
I know you do.
What Tony Iommi did with Sabbath, with Dio... Yeah. Is respectable. Post Dio, I'm heartbroken by what he dragged Sabbath through the name. Because you had Ozzy, who's a big deal. Mm-hmm. You had Dio, who's a big deal. And mm-hmm. then these lesser singers in succession. Tony Martin, mm-hmm. Ian Gillan, or whatever his name is. Like, it was just a fucking hodgepodge.
That first one that I remember being a little kid was the Headless Cross. Who is that? Is that
Tony Martin?
Tony Martin. Okay. Okay. So, I do like the Ronnie Dio one.
I just said it.
Yeah.
You don't even let me finish my thought. You're telling me stories about your childhood.
I'm just making sure I got them.
Listen.
Didn't mix them up.
Ozzy, Dio, and then I think it's Ian Gillan, and then it's Tony Martin, and then they go back to Dio, and it's back to Tony Martin.
Right. Right.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
Can suck my dick. What I do like about Black Sabbath is once they came back together in, was it 2011, 2009? They were like, we're getting our shit back together. For real. They end Now, they don't have Bill Ward, which we discussed many times.
Sure, sure, bud.
But they end and they lay down the gauntlet of Black Sabbath and it's over. When Kiss is done, without Gene Simmons on that fucking stage, it's not a Kiss show. Without Paul Stanley on the stage, it's not a Kiss show. They've done enough Kiss shows without the original two in the band that I can get away with it. But if you take away more, it's just not a fucking Kiss show to me. Now, Paul Stanley's voice is shot. It's over. He's ruined his voice. It's just done. Ace Frehley can still sing his balls off. Ironic that, eh?
Yeah.
But here we go. We're in this situation, and you ask me, this Kiss 2.0? No fucking way. I hate it. It's a brand now.
You ever think that maybe he's playing, Paul might be playing possum for all we know?
I don't think that. You said it, and I don't think that. Do you know why? Because he's pushing fucking 70 years old, and I've been on tour. I was on tour in my 20s, and you get laryngitis a week in. Let me talk. You get laryngitis a week in because I sing every fucking night. So now this guy who's pushing fucking 70, who's traveling the whole world, what's with your eyes? You're bugging out.
I'm bugging out. I'm good.
My point is that Paul Stanley, at this age, when he's on the tour, it's very probable that he's fucking his voice up because he's singing in a range that Gene Simmons isn't. Gene does that Gene voice, right? Mm-hmm. Not exactly hard to get to, but Love Gun and things of that nature, these are high fucking pitch and high register. And then modern Kiss songs are way higher register.
Oh, I agree with that. But as long as he keeps,
so he's not playing fucking possum.
He doesn't do the thing. Well, this guy's also had two. Well, he had two hip replacements.
What's your point? That's great.
Well, I'm just saying that if he doesn't do the flashy '80s non makeup era Kiss, you know, like Heaven's on Fire intro and so forth, I think he'll be fine. I think they wouldn't book a 3-year tour. There's like I just think they'll be fine. And I do like the Ronnie James Dio version of Sabbath, but I like Ozzy Osbourne better with Randy Rhoads, one of my heroes.
That's a popular statement, though. You didn't hear what I said.
Yeah.
My thing is that Sabbath lays down the gauntlet together and ends Black Sabbath.
Right.
There's not a bastardized version of it squirreling around the world
right.
with the moniker. Kiss is rich enough. They're wealthy. They're very
right,
wealthy.
Right, right, sure.
You don't have to keep banging out Kiss. Now, all right, if Paul's son, who's a great guitar player,
absolutely great,
could sing like Paul, which I don't think he can, and you get Gene's son, I'm open to the fucking concept.
He can sing.
I know, he can.
Yeah.
Is he a bass player? Not really.
I don't know, man. I mean, he might be holding this back as secret, you know, maybe.
But that's probably not going to happen. And that guy was in the Doors for a minute. Did you know that? The fucking Gene Simmons' son was with the Doors for a second.
Yeah, I heard that.
And that got really bastardized at the end, too, before Ray died. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Very long answer to your short question. No, I don't believe in a Kiss 2.0. I think it's ridiculous. What are your thoughts?
I think if there was a band, like, I remember, like, the New Monkees, Menudo. do you remember the New Monkees?
The 80s.
Yeah, I don't really remember them being around, but I looked at a good thing called YouTube. If there was one band that could do something like that, I think it would actually, like them or not, I think it would be Kiss. To be honest with you, because of the characters, and they could have a television show as long as you had those four original guys.
Ladies and gentlemen in podcast land, this is the Vex on Vex episode number 25 podcast. Johnny Zero is about to explain to you a theory he's been telling me for quite a few years that I've been going, no, no, no. But I got to tell you, the more time passes and the more we look, this is a real possibility. So I'm going to set it up and I want Johnny Zero to bring this home for us. There was a band called In Excess who had a TV show. What year was it? 2005?
Something like that, yeah.
Where they picked a new lead singer of a million people who were like trying to be in the band to go on tour. Now, your theory for Kiss is?
I think that just if you put Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley, Peter Criss and Paul Stanley on stage together as the judges is one of those setups as like American Idol or The Voice or what have you. It'd be so entertaining just seeing those guys interact, and they had a nationwide search for new members of Kiss. I do believe that's the one band, just because of how different they are, that it could actually work. I mean, not be like corny because it's Kiss, right? I mean, like, who cares?
So we want these guys to get on this show and pick their four replacements of who will carry on the moniker of Kiss.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't be highly rated, and I'm not saying people wouldn't watch it. I don't see Paul Stanley allowing, because they now own the name straight up.
Right.
Like, they got Ace out of it. They got Peter out of it. They own Kiss. I don't see them sharing any of that purse string and doing that.
The fans own it. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. But I'm saying it might be that they just set up four, replacements and like in the movie. And then they end up coming back again and just doing it one last time for the fans, you know. I think because of the characters, I think that's one band that that works with. You know, like Menudo and, you know, what they did with
you
the NXS.
You just love Menudo.
No, but it's Menudo. The concept.
No, but you know what's really, you know, we have to explain to the listening audience who might not know about the Menudo concept.
Yeah.
So what is the Menudo concept?
To my knowledge, from what I know of it, it was a teen age band and they, you know, once they get certain older, they graduate and then they're replaced by a relative. Am I correct?
No, not correct. So no? Close, okay. Close though.
Close.
Okay. So it's a teenage band. They're prepubescent.
Yes.
Okay. There's no hair on the balls.
Right,
they're just little kids.
I didn't know.
Who sing and dance. And they were kind of like a knockoff, a Latin knockoff of the Jackson 5. Where the Jackson 5
right.
went awry is that they grew up. Right?
Right.
And you got some football players sitting there holding the bass. And you're like, he looks
right.
like Gene Simmons more than he looks like a Jackson 5 guy.
Right.
So their thing is you hit 13, 14, there's some hair in your face, you got to go. So
right.
Ricky Martin was in that. Now there's some weird dark theories about it that those kids were kind of molested and fucked with and weirded out because back then especially, those kind of like pedophile people ran that. The guy who brought us in who brought us NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys went to jail for 100 years for like fucking little kids.
No, is that actually true or just people's minds in the gutter?
Oh no, that's totally fucking
true.
Oh
my god,
so the
disgusting.
Theory,
I shouldn't even have mentioned
it. So the theory with Menudo is it was kind of on the same order.
Right.
That's why they didn't want you there if you were 14.
Right.
Now they said for marketing they wanted the little girls to think they were adorable and they were cute,
yeah.
quote unquote, air quotes. So that's
right.
why they did that. But it was probably a little bit more sinister.
Right, right. Like the pop magazines and
yeah,
all that
shit.
Yeah.
Tiger Beat and things
yeah,
of that nature.
But the point is, it was I didn't know any of this. Too,
like Leif Garrett, headlong into his heroin addiction, is a lot less cuter than Leif Garrett.
I get it, but I didn't know any of this dirt that you're laying on me about.
Well, I'm just telling you, bud.
Yeah,
worries.
But what I'm saying is, with Kiss, if they had a Kiss TV show, you could be America's Next Kiss, and like. It's the.
I'm telling you,
yeah.
it's a brilliant fucking concept.
Dave would make millions.
Millions upon millions upon millions. Yeah. Dave Navarro's production company could make, because he did that in NXS show. So his production
yeah.
company could set it up. They could sell it to Fox for real. And it yeah. could be a thing. It's just that I don't see Paul doing it. And like Gene says it best. Gene's like, it's about really playing. He's like, I just love getting on stage and playing. And they wear 50 pounds of fucking shit on top
mm-hmm.
of them. You know what I mean? Which I get.
Well, if they had done what they were supposed to do with the Psycho Circus thing, like Ozfest, a Psycho Circus festival, you know, Oz Festival, like, and you just have them come out at the end and play with the new guys, then you sell it to the new audience. You know what I mean? Like the new members, and they come out, even if it's only one member, like in Chicago, it's Gene. In New York, it's Ace. In L.A., it's Paul. In Texas, it's Peter. You know what I'm saying? And, like, they come out for the encores and so forth, and you help get it over, and they you know, manage the group. And they have a worldwide search for new KISS members.
Paul has been hell-bent on saying in his book and, like, in the press and stuff, his whole thing now
mm-hmm.
in his life is
mm-hmm.
quality of life. Like,
mm-hmm.
they'll call him. They'll be like, hey, we got offered, like, $4 million to do a string of dates here.
Mm-hmm.
In 6 weeks, and he's like, I'd rather just be home. I don't need $4 million, because he's that wealthy now.
Right.
No,
right.
for real. And when you're like
yeah.
you said it, two hip replacements, shoulder surgery,
sure.
all that shit, and his kids are growing up. You know what I mean? So he just
yeah.
wants to be home with his wife. And I get that.
And
I think
that kid
he
is good, like you said. He
is. He's
bad
a talented
ass.
Musician.
Oh my
so,
god.
But my point is that
yeah.
Paul, who is the front man, really,
mm-hmm.
on air quotes again. That's like the 17th time I did air quotes in this fucking podcast today.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
again, air quotes again.
That's
he's
cool,
the front man. He doesn't want to go. And Gene wants to go because Gene's kids are grown. They are. They're adults. They have their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to go make that fucking money because that's what Gene wants.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the other two guys don't even count. They're just like fucking,
what are we doing? Oh, we're doing anything? I don't know. Well, I mean, like, I would think that if they did that, if hear me out on this. If it was Nick and, you know, and Paul's son, and they had two new guys, wouldn't you think one of them would probably be Tommy or Eric or maybe even Bruce to be like a chaperone? Somebody that doesn't do drugs or they don't have to worry about it. Ace has been sober now for, you know, quite a while. But if they didn't trust it, you know, something like that could work, man, in my
No,
opinion.
Bro, I'm not saying it couldn't
yeah.
work. I think it's a great idea. I don't think it'll ever, ever, ever happen.
Okay.
I think Paul Stanley's too much in Paul Stanley's own head. You know, this is a guy that's been going to therapy since this fucking early 70s. Did
mm-hmm.
you know that?
Mm-hmm.
It's in his book. And it's like, not that that's bad. I don't look down on therapy and shit. It's not my thing, per
right.
se. And
at least he tried, you know.
But my point is that this guy, he leaned on his therapist a lot in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy helped him with his accounting and all that stuff. Like, because he didn't have much parental input.
Is this the same guy that's on that, where he gets ripped off by that asshole on
that thieving son of a bitch on that show. Oh gosh, it'll come to me. Keep going. It'll come to me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just have no idea what you're saying.
There was a TV show where they did a thing. It was like it's right in that period, early '80s. You know, that supposed rocking with the boys era, and some guy had ripped him. I don't even want to mention that. Was ripped off. The guy was like a shrink, kind of like his friend, but he ripped him off, and he had problems with him. And
yeah, I believe that's the guy in question.
It's yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about.
And so,
you
know, I learned in his book that he didn't have a great relationship with his father. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they didn't really like him, and there wasn't closeness there. So he needed a paternal person to lean on.
Yeah, God bless him.
And that's what happened. So I don't know. The guy has a lot of money. He has a beautiful wife. He has healthy children. Mm-hmm. God bless. He's had a very long and storied career in Kiss.
Absolutely.
Gene's kind of, in my opinion, fucking with him a lot. Because like Gene put out a cartoon 10 years ago. And the guy just looks like Gene Simmons, right? With the makeup and shit.
Oh, my dad, the rock star?
Or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then so that's Paul's awesome. Like, you can't do that because, you know, we're partners. He's like, oh, it's totally different. He's like, no, it's not totally different. It's a Kiss thing you're doing. You know, I'm part of Kiss, right?
Sorry.
That's right. It. Just, that's it.
Right, like, sure.
You know what I mean?
I understand. And there was also the, what was the name of the Scooby-Doo episode with Ace Decade?
Couldn't care less.
And this is what started all that.
I'm just saying.
It's connected.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah, the character is Gene's likeness, but it's orange hair. And anyway, it's really cool. It's the disc something. You got to look it up.
Couldn't care less.
It's cool if you look it up. But anyway, I think if out of all the bands, though, if they did like a 2.0 because of the characters, the makeup, and the costumes and so forth, if there was any band to do it, I think they would do it.
It's not going to happen.
I just think it could happen. I don't know.
It's a good idea that conceptually it's really good. It's like the American Idol version for Kiss.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Because there's so many tribute bands in the country.
Yeah.
There's somewhere there's a Gene who's perfect.
Yeah.
And actually, I saw this fucked up documentary. I think I told you about it.
Oh.
Where they did a whole bunch of like Kiss tribute bands.
Mm-hmm.
Hotter Than Hell was one of them, I think, and stuff like that.
It's Larger Than Life or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And one of them had a Gene Simmons who this guy looked just like Gene with the makeup on.
Right.
He was really tall. He was a good-looking guy. He could breathe fire. He could sing really well.
Yeah.
And they said he went off the deep end because in his mind he believed he was Gene Simmons, even though he's not.
Yes.
And then they didn't have a Gene Simmons. And they're like, and that was like for them the hardest part to find.
And wasn't the Paul Stanley guy like an African-American
guy? He was
guy?
An African-American guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Which to me is fucking weird.
Yeah. And
just fucking weird. Because
but he was really into it, though. They were
Well, you know, they weren't into it. It was money for them. They weren't into it. Like, they were like, we're going to go out. Yeah, we're going to make
and
money.
And they had fights with other
kids. Other Kiss bands.
Yeah, that was anyway, the documentary. It's funny, but what I'm saying is they could do that, and as long as they were willing to like not want them to be exact copies of them, they could have like, you know, contests around like, you. That's how they got Eric Carr. They did do it before. You could be the next member of Kiss. Like if you could just be the Star Child or the, you know, the Space Ace or the Demon or the Catman or whatever, and then you can interpret it your own way so it's real. You're not being a phony or like a...
Now you're getting weird with it. Like, all right, as conceptually, it's already bizarre. And now you're like, oh, by the way, you can interpret it.
But you don't
They're going to allow you to do nothing. You're going to report to work. You get a paycheck. You play X amount of shows. Okay. You sing like Paul Stanley. You get off the stage, and that's the end of your day. You punch a clock. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And that's not cool. That's all not fucking rock and roll.
I was thinking like there'd be like an Asian chick is like the Demon.
I had a weird fucking bizarre... Stop, you're killing me. I'm telling you a story. I don't care. I'm changing the subject.
All right, go ahead.
I had a dream in like 2005 that... Because Guns N' Roses was very much not together in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It was Chinese Democracy, Guns N' Roses. That somebody put on a Broadway show and they wanted to bring Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, the Broadway show, and they hired Pink to play Axl in the Broadway show because it would work sonically. Like, she could hit all those notes.
She's awesome.
And she's kind of a redhead.
Yeah.
Kind of. And it would have been cool, right? This is literally a dream that I have.
That would be great.
And then I woke up and I wrote about it in my diary or my fucking thing. I was like, it was a blog. I'm like, I think this is a cool concept. Blah, blah, blah.
Right, music.
Totally dreamed it. So when you say Asian chick, it's not too far-fetched. Now, Johnny Zero.
Excuse me.
As we are rounding, this is your second or is this your third appearance officially on the podcast?
I don't know. I'm still getting used to all this, and I really appreciate just you guys listening to have me on here and you have me on your show and stuff like that. I've never done podcasts before.
You're a liar. We have more in the can of TV Dads Wrestling than we
do. Yeah, but that's different. We're in character now.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah,
and I want to discuss that a little. Like, we literally, that's not real. That's not us. It's like these fucking things we designed, and it's natural.
No.
It's organic.
What did you just say?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm breaking kayfabe.
The fuck did you just say?
Yeah, it's not real.
The fuck did you just say? Hand me that microphone.
It's fraudulent.
There's nothing fucking... people are fake. TV Dad Wrestling is real.
The TV Dad's Wrestling Podcast, which is available for you on the Podbean Network. Sorry, the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded Network.
Yes, and we will have the action figures. You're going to have to look in our Facebook page.
He's fibbing. He's totally fibbing.
What are you talking
There's
about,
no
fibbing?
Action figure.
This, there is action figure.
Look at you slip right into character.
You know,
you're going to start, like, tell me how great Charlotte Ingalls is, like, right now.
Charlotte Ingalls is the only TV Dad Wrestling guy that's a real man. Yes, real men. Yes, he's a real man. He's a man's man.
What's your favorite part of the TV Dad's Wrestling Podcast? What do you like about it?
I liked it when it was fun. Just me and you just joking around and stuff. And
so you know what? We're gonna break the fourth
wall. And like say we fucking watch a wrestling movie or something, and you wake up and it's Thursday, and we have fun.
If you go to Johnny Zero's house, there's a good chance. That you will, it's weird because you go into like this like thing and there's no sunlight and it's all, no, it's like temperature controlled. It's very like, it's cool and it's groovy and you don't know it. And 3 days go by and like sometimes there's not cell phone fucking service. So your wife calling you, no one knows. And she's like, are you dead? No, I'm just with Johnny Zero. Woo. And she's like, oh, okay. It's true.
Oh, dude, I enjoy your company, man. It's
the
just
black hole of Johnny Zero.
Oh, it's not a black hole. But, you know, I like to come up with stories that way and stuff for now, our athletes. I mean, these guys are real athletes, man. I don't know why people don't believe.
Now, you didn't ask me, but I'm going to tell you my favorite part of it.
The Ricky, baby.
The camaraderie.
Yes.
Like, we literally can create this complete universe out of thin air. Absolutely. Like, dude, there was a point where Johnny had the cartoon version. No, the cereal boxes.
Yes.
So it was like Tony the Tiger was the world champion, and he was facing off against the fucking cornflakes guy.
And that one, I didn't even come up with all that one. That one, I joked around with somebody else.
And it just happened.
Yeah. I got to give credit.
Tony the Tiger is the big face. They're great.
Yeah. He's like the Hulk. He's like the Barry Windham or Hulk
Hogan. Barry Windham or Hulk Hogan.
Hogan type of character of it. But, you know, you got the Toucan Sam, man. He always takes off that nose. Follow my nose. Everyone can. And he hits the guy with the nose when the ref isn't looking. And he gets the 1, 2, 3. Oh, my God. The ring's on the rope. You know, and all that, you know. It's just it's unbelievable. But what we really need to do is the California Wrestling Association.
You know what? No, I don't know what that is.
Hollywood Wrestling Association. I don't know what their official name is, but it's the Movie Dads. And yeah, they're not allowed in our promotion because we are first, and they're trying to. Do it. Now look.
All right, stop. Stop being in character. Don't do it. Don't.
What are you talking about?
This it's dark road.
It's funny though. It's
crossing the line.
Good radio, man.
No, this is good radio. Gosh. We have to actually have a discussion like adults.
My buddy.
About adult things. Did I tell you I'm picking up a Mesa triple rectifier head tomorrow?
Yes,
I'm
that's
pretty
awesome.
Excited about that.
I played through one of those. I think that you'll like that sound.
See, I've been a Marshall guy my whole life. I'm a Marshall head guy.
I think that's
like,
more
I've had three triple super lead heads. Mm-hmm. I used to have a JCM 800 that was white, the Randy Rhodes one, from like 81.
Yes, I know. I saw it. I drooled.
I still have an orange head. I have a Fender.
Please donate the orange head to me. But keep going.
It's not strong enough. It's only 30 watts. That's what kills me about it. Like, I like it, but
I'll find a way.
It's just not strong enough. But so that the 30 watt orange head, and then I have, this is my personal head. This is the one I love. Yeah. I have a Fender Bassman, which is what Stevie Ray Vaughan used to play through.
Sure.
God, I love that fucking head. The best clean tone, like, in rock and roll. The only thing better, I used to have oh my God, I don't even know if you know this story.
Yeah.
I had an original 1970s twin reverb Fender combo amp.
Now, are you talking about the classic Fender twin?
Yeah.
Or, now, you know about the evil, they call it the quote-unquote evil twin, the 90s remake of it.
Was it badass? I don't know much about it.
Well, but the purists would kill me for it, but to me, badass.
But did you ever play with the original? I had the original. Did you ever play with one of the originals?
I had one before, and I'd still take the evil one.
Really? That's crazy to me.
Well, I played for the song, not because of the amp. I played in the songs I was playing to go from clean to dirty.
There's no real dirty in those amps. Those are blues amps.
The evil twin, boy, I'm telling you right now, brother, I'm telling you, that thing you can get some. It's nasty if you want it to be. If you know what to do with it.
If you had all the money in the world,
yes.
What setup would you have right now? Like, what would your head be, and what would your cat be?
I would probably, other than making my own, I like that crate. That one crate, that weird crate one, GT200, the one with the before Blue Voodoo.
See, I had a Blue Voodoo, and I know about the Blue Voodoo. Yeah. I don't know about before it.
Blue
though.
Voodoo, it's the one before that. It makes blue, and no disrespect to Blue Voodoo, it just, this thing was the first one with the tubes in it. And I think it's GT200. I don't know. Anyway, I think it's GT200. That thing was great. Had a built-in digital processor.
I hate digital. I hate it.
I'm not a big fan of it either.
I hate it.
But if I want delay, if I want, you know,
I
a reverb pedals, and stuff
pedal,
like that.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, well, I hear you. That's what I'm saying. One, look, it's all it is.
But that's not a pedal. That's the digital delay. I buy a delay pedal. You know what I mean? Like, I have a Boss delay pedal, and I have a Boss tuning pedal.
That's too much for me.
Yeah.
For me, it's too complicated. Because, when I go to, remember, we're, to me, I'm an entertainer. And I want people to be entertained when they come. So I don't want to be looking down at my shoes and doing all that stuff. Because I don't know all that stuff like them guys do. I've seen those guys, and they're really artists with it. I'm not taking anything away from them.
You know, it's just about, like, repetition, though. Like, if you just rehearsed it, by the time you get on stage, it won't even matter.
Yeah, but I'm singing and playing lead.
That's true, and that's a bitch.
Yeah, I'm singing, playing lead, and, directing traffic.
Were you ever a Social Distortion fan?
No, I wasn't, but I fucking sure am now.
He did that. He played lead and he sang lead. And I remember being a little kid when I discovered them. I'm a teenager, and I was like amazed.
I didn't know that they. I saw the T-shirt or something. Social Distortion.
Good band, dude.
Oh, he's fucking great. Mike Ness is like Mike a Ness. Hero of mine at this point. I mean, like, I've been told. Well, I don't want to. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I've been told that I'm similar to him in some fashion, sounding wise with the guitar and stuff like that. I that was such an honor to me, but I'm not, I don't mean that like I think I'm as good at him or anything, but I didn't really know who he was, man, until I heard him. But I fucking love him, dude. They're great. He went on tour with Bruce Springsteen recently.
They've been homies for a long time.
Yeah.
When Social Distortion broke in the late 80s, Springsteen had said in the press somewhere that he was like, I like this band. And Ness was a huge fan.
Sure.
So they had been like kind of hanging out and writing occasionally. And like, so yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but even some of his chord progressions and things and the, I can have nothing but good things to say about him, man. He's just unbelievable.
I saw him lose his cool in like 2007 on South Street at the TLA.
Really?
They were on tour that year, and I was always a Social Distortion fan, and my girlfriend at the time was cool. She was cool, like rock chick, and we went.
Right.
It was like a Wednesday night. And
God bless.
He brought out a dozen roses that he tossed into the audience when the show started, which impressed me. And I was like, I think I might do that when I start touring again. I didn't, by the way.
Yeah.
But I was impressed by it. And then somebody said something at the end of the night or threw something, and he's old at the time. He's like 50 or something, and he rushes the front of the stage like, yeah, that's right. And I'm like, stop. Just put the testosterone away. Like, just stop. Some kid threw something on stage that didn't even hit you. Like, just calm the fuck down.
Right.
And he wanted to fight the guy.
Really?
And I was like, you're Mike fucking Ness, man. You're a big deal. Like, stop.
Really?
Yeah. And it weirded me out, and I didn't like that. But I like him.
Did he come out like near your girlfriend and stuff to hurt your girlfriend?
It was the front of the stage.
Wow.
I don't know why the words "hurt your girlfriend" even came out of your mouth.
I'm just
anything like that.
I'm trying to just picture.
But I said exactly what it was.
Like
he walked to the front of the stage,
right.
Saying that was weird to me. I'm not gonna lie. Did he hurt your girlfriend? No, he didn't hurt my
girlfriend. I mean like the people.
At the front of the stage. But he was yelling at some kid in the audience, which fucked up. Like, what are you doing? Just grow up.
Whatever. I understand. I've gotten blamed for things like that, but I've also gotten people do that shit to me, and I've had to,
I may or may not have slapped a young man across the face after a truck show a few years ago. I may or may not have done that.
Oh, well, I don't seem to remember that. So
I was throwing CDs into the audience for the kids, and he was swatting them down behind the fucking thing, and I'm like, after the show, I'm going to come out there.
Right, 3 o'clock high.
And we're going to talk. And then we were talking, and I like smacked the side of his face like la-la, yeah. And I just kind of like, rah! Like a pimp slap type of thing.
Right, sure, sure.
And then security interjected, and it got really weird. But that may or may not have happened, actually, at a show. So maybe I should understand Mike Nesmore and not be such a dick, but I was definitely judgmental when that happened.
I understand. You had the Fred Gwynn the guy. You
know? And no one gets that reference. No one listening to this show has any idea.
You had to Karloff him.
Yeah. Again, no one gets the reference.
They understand Boris Karloff.
Do they?
Yes.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No one does.
Yes, they do.
Interesting.
Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff, believe me, are much cooler than you think.
Karloff's a cocksucker. Fuck Boris Karloff. Yeah, that's it. No, I like Bill Murray's character. He's like, say Boris Karloff is a cocksucker. And you're like, what?
Karloff, sidekick.
What?
Fuck you!
He can't smell my shit! Yeah. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to conclude episode 25 of the Vex on Vex podcast.
Rock and roll.
Johnny Zero, thank you for graciously spending your time with us.
Thank you for having me, guys. Love you guys. Rock and roll.
This is VexX telling you
to
stay frosty.